Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen, amen. All right, as you're having a seat, get your Bible and go with me to Colossians, the third chapter. We've been in a series that we just started last week called The Word and Worship. Today will be part number two. Now, don't worry if you missed part number one. You can get it online. It is available for you. Today, we'll review a little bit of some of the things that we talked about last week, and then today's message will stand on its own, and you'll be glad, and you will get a hold of the Word of God today. The Word and Worship, this is part number two. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16 says this. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." I see the importance of something that the Word of God talks about, and that is the Word of Christ. This is the very Word of God for our lives. This is the wisdom of God for our lives. And it says that we are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, abundantly, that we're to get into this Word and let this Word get into us. Like we talked about last week, we need to know our Bibles. We need to make a strategic plan to get into it every day. We need to read it. We need to know it. We need to know what God has to say about our lives. Remember, we said this, that this is God's word. This is God's manual for life. It's like the map that shows us how to get through and where we need to go and what we need to be doing. It gives us a picture of how life can be. But notice it doesn't just say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and move on. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In all wisdom. Today I want to talk to you about the wisdom that comes from God's word. Because there is a wisdom from God and there is a wisdom of man. There's a wisdom from above and a wisdom from below. And what seems right in our society, what seems right to the flesh, what we can calculate, what we can add up, what we think will work out, oftentimes is not the wisdom that God has for our life. The Bible tells us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death or destruction. I don't want to go down that path, do you? I mean, I'd rather not make those mistakes on my own. I'd rather learn how to avoid those pitfalls and how to do life the right way. And so many of the plans of a man's heart, we read in the Word, and yet the answer comes from the Lord. We need to know what God has to say about our lives. We don't need the wisdom of man. We don't need the wisdom of the world. We know all that stuff, and we can operate in that, and you can have a certain level of success in doing that. And yet, I don't want to have success according to what the world says. I want to have success according to what God says. My wife and I, we enjoy spending some time outside in our backyard. We've got some chairs next to the pool, and we have one of those little wood-burning fire pits, you know? The problem is that every time we burn the wood, we end up smelling like a campfire for a couple days afterwards. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I hate that. It keeps me up at night. I'm like smelling smoke all night long going, gosh, I hate this, you know? Wash your hair like six times in the shower and you still smell like smoke. The clothes, you almost have to burn them along with the fire afterwards because they're gonna smell like smoke. And so my wife finally had enough, and so she decided she was going to go online and buy one of those propane gas fire pits, you know, a little table that hides the propane tank. You turn it on, you push the clicker, whew, you get fire, right? Heat, and no smelling like smoke afterwards. Praise the Lord. And so she goes ahead and she orders online. She does a lot of shopping online. Anybody like the online thing? You like the online shopping? Okay, some of you guys do that. I like to go to a store. I want to look at it. I want to smell it. I want to see how big it is. I want to kick it and see if it dents. You know what I mean? I want to know whether or not I'm buying something that's cheap or something that's really sturdy. I want to know that when I have a problem with it, that I can go back to a brick and mortar store and I can talk to a live human being with a pulse and heat coming out of their body. And that if I don't like it, I can give it back to them and get my money back, right? So my wife orders this fire pit online. You can already see where I'm going with this, can't you? Massive box shows up at our house. I bring it into the front room and didn't want to move it any further than that. And there it stayed for a week. Just sat there until I finally got tired of it sitting there. And so I moved it from the front to the back. I finally moved it out into the backyard and there it sat for a couple of days. My middle son, he likes putting things together. He likes a little project every now and then. So I said, come on, bud, let's go put this thing together. And so we go out into the backyard. We cut open the box, and we get all the pieces laid out, and everything looks like it's good. It looks like it's sturdy. It looks like a nice fire pit, you know? It's got the lava rocks that you put over the little ring and all the stuff. It's beautiful, you know? A little basket weave kind of design on the side of it. Oh, it's gonna match everything. It's going to look real nice out there in the backyard. So I lay everything out. I've got everything ready. I got four sides, got the top, got the base, got all that kind of stuff. And as I'm looking, there's one little box or one little piece of cardboard that has all the screws on it that I'm looking for. I'm not finding that. Not finding that little box that says instructions inside. I don't find that anywhere. Usually it has a little red piece of tape on it or something for you to identify. Oh, I need to get a hold of that. I'm flipping over all of the pieces. I'm pulling all the pieces out of the box. I'm setting them all aside as I'm going through just to make sure as I comb through. I'm looking to see if it's taped to something else. It's not on the inside of the box. It's not on the inside of the styrofoam. It's not taped to the side of one of the doors. I don't find any screws, and I don't find any instructions. And so I'm frustrated. Look at my son. I said, we can't put this thing together. There's no screws, no instructions. So we go inside and I tell Jess, I said, Jess, hey, we can't put the table together. Why not? Because we ain't got no screws. No screws, yeah, and no instructions. And so she says, well, I'm going to take care of this, right? Now, if it was me, throw it in the box, throw it in the car, drive to the store, throw it at the employee, get my money back, right? I'm going to get another one, or exchange it for one, you know? Or they can open up another box and give me those instructions. I don't care, right? Problem solved. But no, we have to get online, and we have to send an email, and hopefully someone on the other side of the world maybe will speak enough English to know what to do with our problem, right? And so she shoots the email off, and it's out there in space somewhere. Now, on the other side of the world, there are people having conversations about this email. And eventually, after a couple of days, my wife gets a response. Go to the store and buy some screws and put it together, and we will refund you $10 for your trouble. This is why I want brick and mortar. This is why I want actual live hot bodies in front of me that I can yell at if I need to, right? I want to know that I'm able to get the problem resolved. Are you going to send me to the store to buy screws myself? If I wanted to do that, I would have built the fire pit myself. And by the way, how many screws? What size screws? Where do the screws go when I get the screws? I need the manual too, not just the screws. Are there different types of screws? Do certain screws go in certain places and other screws go in different places? What am I doing? This is crazy. Now, before my wife could respond, they're still having the discussion on the other side of the world. So they send a second email, and they realize the error of their ways, and they send another email to her, and they said, hey, by the way, we figured out that that's not a good idea, and so what we're going to do is we're going to send you the parts kit. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That is what we were asking for in the beginning. And they said, the only problem is that we can't get a hold of our American offices in order to give you a tracking number so that you will know when these screws are coming. I mean, we've been waiting around for a response. Wait, now we're waiting around for the screws. It's like Jesus' second return. No man knows the day or the hour. We're just waiting to see whether or not it's going to come, right? Finally, one day, I go out to the mailbox and I open it up and I see that manila envelope. Glory to God. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Here it is. The day has come and I can see it. Oh, there it is. I pull it out. It's got some weight to it. I know what this is. This is my parts kit. This is what I've been waiting for. These are my screws. So I tear open the manila envelope. I pull it out and sure enough, it's like one long piece of cardboard and it's got plastic over the top and every screw is lined up perfectly by size, by type. Oh my goodness, I am ready to go. I get my son, I go back out in the backyard. We pull that screw set out and we put it down on the side of the fire table and I reach into the manila envelope to get a hold of what I think is the manual and I pull out the piece of paper and it says, packing list enclosed. One parts kit. Thank you very much. I have all the pieces now, or so I thought, but I wouldn't know because I still don't have the manual. And so now my wife's back on the email again, trying to talk to these people. Well, we need your email address. She says, wait a second, I'm emailing you. How do you not know my email? And they said, well, you're going through a third party and they mark out your email every time that you send it to us. So she tries to put it in the body of the email. Maybe they won't mark it out. They still marked it out. Now they're saying, send us an attachment that has your email address on it so that we can try and see if they won't mark it out on an attachment. I'm like, oh my goodness, honey, let's learn the lesson. Let's never buy something this big, this significant online ever again. If you want to buy socks? That's fine. I can throw those away or burn those in the old fire pit, right? But I'm not buying stuff online anymore. This is crazy. It's been weeks. So yesterday, my beautiful wife and my kids decide we're going to put it together. So they did what every good person nowadays does. They go on YouTube. And they find the video that shows you how to put this thing together. They've got all the parts, they've got their tools ready, and they start to put it together. And as they're assembling it, they realize that they're still missing parts. hearts yesterday, which we would have known if we would have had the manual that would show us all the parts necessary and needed for this fire pit. Why am I telling you a story about my fire pit? Because I want to complain? Well, a little bit, yes. But here's the real reason. The real reason is because you can have all the parts for a great life. You can have the husband, the wife, you can have the house, you can have the car, you can have the kids, you can have the vacations, you can have all of this stuff. You can have the extended family, the friends, you can have the job, you can have a great future ahead of you, and yet without the instructions, without the manual, it's not gonna do you any good in the end. Life is incomplete without finding out from the author of life what it is supposed to be all about. We need the wisdom of God. Now, let's find out what wisdom is, because sometimes people think, well, wisdom is just experience. Wisdom is just living enough to make enough mistakes and get enough knocks until you know what to do. I will agree with that to a point, and even the Bible agrees with that. The Bible says that there is wisdom with those who have gray hair. So some of you guys walk in the place ashamed of your gray hair. Hey, come on, wear it proud. That is a badge of honor. That is a symbol of respect, and we love you and we appreciate the wisdom that you carry from your years and from your experience. The Bible does talk about that, okay? And so we honor that. And yet, I find that there's more than just experience, because how many of you know you can gain wisdom by looking at what mistakes someone else made and say, I'm gonna do that? How many know you can learn wisdom by finding somebody who has done it before, or somebody who knows something about it that can tell you, hey, this is the way to do that. You don't want to do these other things. Young and old, we can be wise. And God has a wisdom that he gives us in his word that goes much beyond just age or experience or making mistakes. God wants to impart to you the words of life, the wisdom in his manual that will show you how to put all the pieces together and have a great life. So what is wisdom? Wisdom, I find it all throughout the Bible. Collectively, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, has a theme that runs through it. Wisdom is simply this. It's God's skill for life. Wisdom is God's skill for life. The Bible speaks of God as a craftsman. Did you know that? He creates masterpieces. God is the one who puts life together. He's the one that forms your life into something beautiful. He takes all of the pieces and he puts it together and he wraps it up, and God writes this beautiful story and crafts this wonderful, amazing life because of wisdom. God is the one who had the wisdom to put the world together, all the systems of the world, all the biology, all of the chemistry, all of the solar system. God put it all together and made it all work. How? By wisdom. God is the master craftsman. He is the author of life. And therefore, God wants to deliver to you not just the parts, not just the pieces, not just the knowledge. No, it goes much beyond that. Now, God, how do I use this? How do I do this? God will give you skill to craft a life that God wants for you to have. Is anybody listening today? Wisdom is the right application of truth or principles of right living according to what God says. It's what we hear from God, the knowledge of God that we put into practice, okay? Now, I just used two words, knowledge and wisdom. These are two different things. Sometimes we think that if we can just get the knowledge, we'll be fine. We'll have the wisdom we need. No, knowledge is just that, knowledge. You can know about something and yet not have the wisdom to operate in it. But a lot of people in American church have a lot of knowledge about God, and yet they're not operating in the wisdom of God. The proof of that is when I sit down with someone to talk about their marriage, and we start talking about their marriage, and I start to pull out a scripture for them, and they quote the scripture back to me, then they pull out six other scriptures, and I'm like, oh, that's really good. Let me write that one down, right? And yet their marriage is a mess. Why? Because they have the knowledge, but they're not operating in wisdom. Hello. It's like the man who was flying a plane and had a pastor, a Boy Scout, and a zoologist on the plane. Partway through the flight, the pilot comes out into the cabin and says, guys, I've got bad news. Both of the engines have died on us. We're going to crash. He says, the worst news is that there's only three parachutes on this plane. I didn't check before we got on. One of us is going to have to go down with the plane. I have a wife and three kids, and I can't sacrifice that. And so I've already made the decision. I'm taking one of the chutes. And he puts it on, and he jumps out of the plane. The zoologist jumps to his feet and says, I've been regarded as the smartest man on the planet. It'd be a tragedy if the world was without my gift of my brain, and therefore I'm going to take one of these packs. And he puts on a pack and he jumps out. And the reverend looked at the boy and the pastor and he said, listen, I've lived my life, son. I'm good. I know where I'm going. And so you go ahead and take the pack. And the Boy Scout looks back at the pastor and he says, Reverend, we don't have to worry about a thing. The smartest man in the world just grabbed my knapsack and jumped out of the plane. We got two parachutes. Let's go. See, you can know a lot and still not be very smart. You can have all the degrees, you can have all the head knowledge, and yet if you don't operate in wisdom, it's not going to do you any good. Proverbs chapter 4, turn there with me. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And in fact, if you look at it, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. So maybe you want to take a month and just do one chapter a day. Meditate on it, right? Bring it back up, mutter it, talk about it. Get the word of God on the inside of you. And every day for 1 month, you can go through it. The book of Psalms, by the way, has 150 chapters. That sounds like a lot, but if you just do five a day for 1 month, you're done in a month, right? So 2 months, you could get two big books in your Bible reading into your heart and into your life. Proverbs chapter 4, take a look at it in verse number 5. We're going to read down through verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5, look at what it says. I want you to hear the heart. I want you to listen to the passion that God has for you and for me. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 5, it says this. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Verse 6, do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Look at the benefits of wisdom. I want you guys to see the benefits of getting wisdom. God just doesn't tell you what to do. He doesn't just tell you how to do it. He also tells you the benefits, the blessings of it. Why? So that we'll want it. We'll desire it. Some of us want to live a good life. We want to be protected. We want to be preserved. Well, listen, don't forsake wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. She'll make sure you're safe. She'll make sure that you have everything that you need. Look at what it goes on in verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the first thing. You need it before you get started. Before you start to put all the parts together, you need the wisdom of God. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Verse number 8, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Some of you guys have been chasing after the world's way long enough. Trying to get promoted, trying to get a leg up, trying to do better in life. I want to do better than my parents did. I want to do better than my boss. I want to be the boss someday. You thought that the world's ways of, you know, just networking and hard work and all that kind of stuff, that will get you so far. But listen, if you get a hold of wisdom, look at what it says. That promotion that you want on the job, that promotion you want in life, you want to go to the next level with God, you're not going to get it any other way than God's way. You need the wisdom to do it. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. Give wisdom a hug, somebody. Verse number 9, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Notice the word grace. That's God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. Not just graceful, not just looking good, right? But it says that when you have the wisdom, it will also empower you to live the life that God has for you. When you operate according to the manual, the word of God, get a hold of the knowledge of God. Why? So that now wisdom can come in and can show you how to do life. So how do we get it? If we're to get wisdom, and in all of our getting, get understanding, how do we get wisdom? I'm glad you asked the question. A couple things that we're going to answer that question today with. First one is this. If we're going to get wisdom, you're going to have to get it through the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Now, when I say that, I didn't hear any amens. I didn't hear anybody woot and clap and holler. Why? Because probably you've never really understood what the fear of the Lord is. Fear of the Lord does not mean that you're just afraid of God, right? That you run scared, that God is some old man up in the clouds with a lightning bolt just waiting to zap you, and therefore you've got to fear the Lord, and then that's wisdom. No, that's not what the Bible's talking about. The fear of the Lord is a respect. It is an awe. It is an honor and a reverence for who God is. It is also include being afraid of crossing God the wrong way, of not doing life the way God has outlined. Because the Bible says our God is a consuming fire, and it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You say, Pastor, is that Old Testament? No, that's New Testament. Wait a second, I thought God was the angry God in the Old Testament, and he's all loving and kissy-kissy and huggy-huggy in the New Testament. No. God never changes. He's loving and huggy-huggy, kissy-kissy in the Old Testament, but you didn't want to cross him in the Old Testament, right? Ground opened up and swallowed people up and clapped back behind them and swallowed their family. Man, I want to cross that God. But guess what? In the New Testament, there were people that lied to the Holy Spirit and fell dead right in front of Peter. You don't cross God. There is a fear of that. Jesus himself said, don't fear man who can just kill the body. Fear God who can kill the body and then cast your soul into hell. I am afraid to cross God the wrong way. But Pastor, I want an approachable God. I want a God that's loving and kind. Listen, he's still approachable. He's still loving and kind. Any of you have a respect for your dad? You loved your dad. You could give your dad a hug anytime, right? But you didn't cross him. Because you knew there was a respect level for that man. He towed the line in your house. And you knew what was right and you knew what was wrong. We were talking to our kids about this. Maybe the dad illustration isn't good for you because some of you guys didn't have a good dad. But we were talking to our kids about the fear of the Lord. And we said, think about the ocean for a second. Are you guys afraid of the ocean? They said, well, yeah. I mean, like, if a big wave comes, it could really hurt you. It could take you down on the ground. I've gotten slapped by a wave and dragged on the ocean floor and really hurt. I'm afraid of that. And, you know, the rip tides can pull you out to sea. There's animals and stuff in there, that, you know, sharks and stuff like that. We have, you know, there's a healthy fear that's there, right? I don't want to go to the ocean the wrong way. And we said, well, does that keep you from the ocean? They said, well, no. We love the ocean. We love to go splash in the water and swim and play and go surfing. And when we have the opportunity, go sailing. The ocean's really fun. See, they were afraid of it in a healthy way that helps them not to get hurt and not to do the wrong thing, but they would still go and play and have fun, and they were still not afraid to approach it. See, in the same way with God, God wants us to have a healthy respect, all honor and fear of who he is, but God still wants us to approach him the right way. And the fear of the Lord is what the Bible says will give us wisdom. Let's take a look at it in the book of Psalms. You're there in the Proverbs. Turn back to the book of Psalms. Don't go too far in the Psalms. Find Psalms 111. Psalm 111, all right? And right at the end of Psalm 111, find the very last verse in Psalm 111, verse number 10. Let's take a look at it together. Psalm 111, verse number 10 says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. I love that. The fear of the Lord is the starting block. It's our starting point. If you want wisdom, here's wisdom. Fear God. Respect him. Honor him enough to find out what God has to say. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to do me. I'm going to do life my way. I'm going to do it. Listen, society's way. Everybody's doing it. Well, listen, then you're not fearing God and you don't have any wisdom. You're operating in the foolishness of man rather than in the wisdom of God. Well, I want to be wise, Pastor. Then here's where it starts, is to fear God, to honor him, to start to reverence and respect him and not want to cross him. I'm afraid to do something against God. Why? Because there is an unfruitful way and there are weeds that will grow up in that way. I don't want the weeds. I want the fruit. And therefore, if I want the fruit, I got to sow into what God has to say. It's only when we respect God enough to listen, to learn, and to do what he says that we start to be wise and we start to be understanding. Someone ought to say amen to that. Second thing for us today is this, is how do we get wisdom? Number one, you got to fear the Lord. But number two, how do we get wisdom? You got to ask for it. You got to ask for it. You say, that's too easy, Pastor. Well, God said it. God invites us to come and to approach his throne room. God says, I want you to come in, and I want you to ask for it if you don't have it. Heard the story of a man that was taking a walk with his son. Son was a little guy, and son really respected daddy. And so son was looking around, and he's looking at the sky. He said, Dad, why is the sky blue? And the dad said, well, I think it's because of the ozone layer, I think. And then there's like light rays that bounce through. And son, I really don't know. And so they walked along for a little while, and the son was thinking about it for a minute, and he says, Dad, how does lightning work coming out of the cloud like that? And he says, well, there's like hot air and cold air, and they swirl around, and there's static electricity, and somehow that needs to get to the ground, and so it makes lightning, but again, son, I really don't know. And so they walked along after a little while, and he says, well, Dad, how do the waves of the ocean work? I mean, is someone pushing that from somewhere? Is something going on? And he says, well, no, son, the moon pulls with gravity, and I don't know, son, I really don't know. And this went on for a while. I mean, asking about how tadpoles turn into frogs and asking about how the wind works and asking about, you know, earthquakes and all that kind of stuff. And the dad, just one right after the other, he had a little bit of knowledge, but I mean, he really didn't know how anything worked. And at the end of it, they get back home at the end of their walk, and the boy looks up at his dad and smiles and says, "Daddy, I'm so sorry I asked you so many questions. You don't mind that I asked you so many questions, did you?" And the dad said, "No, son, I don't mind it at all. In fact, I'm glad you asked that many questions. How else are you going to learn?" We'll wait for the second wave of laughter to start. See, we've got to ask for the wisdom from God, who knows all things and who can give us the wisdom that we need. Turn with me to the book of James in the New Testament. Book of James. James, in fact, has a lot of wisdom for our life. James comes right out of the gate talking about wisdom in James chapter number 1. Turn with James chapter 1. Turn with me to James chapter number 1. In fact, all throughout the book of James, you'll find that he has a wisdom for our lives, wisdom for our words, wisdom for the way that we use our mouth, wisdom for the way that we do relationships, wisdom for how we treat the poor and how we treat the wealthy in our churches, wisdom for what we do in life, wisdom for prayer, wisdom for healing. It's all throughout the book of James. There is a wisdom of God. And in James chapter number 1, verse number 5, like I said, right out of the gate, right in the beginning, opening statements of the book of James, he says this in verse number 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom." Anybody in here could say, I could use some wisdom. My hand is up, all right? I'm going to put a leg up. I'm going to put the other arm up. And if I could jump, right? I need wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, look at this. Let him ask of God. It's so simple. It's so easy. And yet we have the hardest time doing it, don't we? He says, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I have some friends, and they have a cute little daughter that they birthed into this world, the wonderful little girl, and she is independent as all get up. You know what I'm saying? And they told us, we were talking to them one time, they said that her favorite words are, "I do it." Sit down at the breakfast table, we'll start to try and feed her at breakfast. She grabs a spoon out of her hand, "I do it." And she starts feeding herself, makes a mess all over the place, end up having to clean up the mess. Start to get her dressed, "I do it," right? And she puts her shirt on backwards, put the shoes on the wrong feet. She's got both legs through one of the leg holes. And they're like, "Okay, you did it, all right. Can we get you dressed now?" Start to clean up the toys, right? "I do it." And okay, good. I like this one, right? She makes more of a mess cleaning up the toys than she would have if they would just let her do it. And so they have to go behind her and everything in their life, trying to get her in the car seat, trying to take her to school. "I do it. I do it. I do it. I do it." See, sometimes I feel like we have that attitude with God. "God, I got this. God, it's okay." God's looking over our shoulder. "You want some help with that? God, I do it." But God gives us an invitation. Listen, if any of you lacks wisdom, you don't have to get frustrated and messed up in life and have parts all in the wrong place and the wrong leg and the wrong shoe and the wrong area. You don't have to go to do the wrong thing and waste time, waste money, waste life, waste relationship. No, no, not God, I do it. No, God, how do I do this? God, give me the wisdom that I need, Lord. I can't do this on my own. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. That means abundantly. It means lavishly. It means more than you have need of and without reproach. God is not sitting back laughing at you when you ask for wisdom. "You stupid chump. I knew you couldn't do it because I know all things." No, God's not acting like that. He's not boastful or proud. He's God. He's loving you, and he's saying, "I was waiting for you to come and ask. Come on, let's do this together. Let me show you the wisdom for life. Let me show you how to put this together. Let me show you how to make that relationship work. Let me show you how a good marriage looks. Let me show you how these children should be acting. Let me show you what you got to do to get them to the point where they need to be." God has a wisdom. One of the brothers in our church has gone on to be with the Lord, great man of God, just love him so much. He came to this church, and, you know, living in the Inland Empire, didn't have a great education, didn't have a great background, didn't have a lot of experience. And he got a hold of the Word of God, and he heard Pastor Jim talking at a meeting about, "You could start a business." And he thought, "I could start a business." And so he did. Started a landscaping company. Had crews run around doing homes and that sort of a thing. This guy prospered so much. One day we were over there in the first time visitor area, and he came walking over, and he waited for me to continue to greet people. He waited for me to finish up. And I walked over and I said, "Hey, what's going on, man?" He said, "I want to let you know. I was there in church. God spoke to me. Write a $5,000 check." I wrote a $5,000 check. "Here you go, Pastor." Handed it to me for the work of the ministry. Why? Why am I telling you this? Because it's not about money. It's not about somebody giving. No, it's about somebody getting a hold of the Word of God, who had no right being a business owner, had no background in business, had no education, didn't have the right place, didn't have the right thing. He should have been pushing the mower, not telling other people how to push the mower. But he got a hold of the wisdom of God, and now he was building the kingdom of God. And if God can do it for that brother, how much more can God do for you? What is God wanting you to do in life? Ask for the wisdom, and God will give it to you. Last one for us today is operate in it. Operate in it. Pastor, that sounds a little counterintuitive, like operate in it. Don't I need the wisdom before I operate in it? No, God says start to do it. Start to do what I say, and you'll have the wisdom that you need. As you step out, you'll see the wisdom as you're operating in it. It seems counterintuitive, and yet God says, I want you to do this, because there are all kinds of things that we know about, and yet we don't do anything with it, do we? It's like electricity. I know how electricity works. I know that there's charges that go through the conductors, and then they when the switch is on, it allows that to pass through, and then that goes up into the light and the filament and all that. I understand all that. And yet if you ask me to put a house together and to wire it for electricity and put it all into the box and all that, I would make a mess. I would probably burn the house down, as a matter of fact. You don't want me working on your electricity. Even though I know something about it, I know what the cables look like, I know what the switches look like, I even know what the box looks like, and yet I can't put all that together and make it work. In the same way, we know a lot about the Bible. We know a lot about the stories. We know a lot about the scriptures. We know a lot about this stuff, and yet God says, I want you to operate in it. I want you to start to step out and do it, and then you'll have the wisdom available for your life. In Smithsonian Magazine, Gilbert King wrote about a man named Charles Steinmetz, who was called upon by Henry Ford to fix a large electrical generator in his Ford Motor Company power plant. Upon arriving, Steinmetz rejected all assistance and asked only for a notebook, pencil, and cot. He listened to the generator and scribbled on the notepad for 2 straight days and nights. On the second night, he asked for a ladder, climbed up the generator, and made a chalk mark on its side. Then he told Ford's skeptical engineers to remove a plate at the mark and replace 16 windings from the field coil. Now, I don't know what a winding is. I don't know what a field coil is, but he did. And he said, I want you to remove 16 of these and replace them on the field coil. They did. And the generator performed to perfection. Ford was thrilled until he got the bill for $10,000. Now, remember, this is like 100 years ago, okay? $10,000 were not what $10,000 is today. We would think, $10,000, okay. You know, it's pretty steep, but it's still okay. No, and that, it was like $100,000 for a couple of days of work, right? So Ford insists that Steinmetz give him an itemized bill so he could see what he was paying for. Steinmetz sent a bill itemized saying 2 things. 1, making chalk mark on the generator, $1. Number 2, knowing where to make the mark, $9,999. Ford paid the bill. 2 Timothy, turn there with me. 2 Timothy, back towards the front of your Bible. Head back to 2 Timothy. These are Paul's last words to his young protege, Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor in Ephesus. Paul knew that his job was important, that he needed some encouragement. He needed some wisdom. So he's leaving him his last words. This is the wisdom of God for you and for me today. This is not just a story. This is not just for Timothy. This is for all of us that want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in fact, I'm going to start in verse number 14. Look at what it says. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Everybody say knowing. Knowing. He says, you know something, and therefore I want you to continue to operate in it. Verse number 15, and that from childhood you have known. Everybody say known. Known, known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Notice these Holy Scriptures have an ability. They are like a seed that has the power within itself to produce after its own kind. And the ability that's in them is to make you wise for salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the rest of the verse. It says, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know that you can know about Jesus? You can know that he was prophesied of far before he came, hundreds and thousands of years even before he came. You can know that Jesus came born of a virgin. You can know the surroundings of where he came. You can know about the Roman society. You can know about Bethlehem. You can know about the slaughter of the innocents. You can know that Joseph, warned in a dream, took his family down to Egypt. You can know that Jesus went back to Nazareth. You can know that Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God to do miracles, signs, and wonders, and that the Spirit was poured out on him without measure. You can know about the miracles Jesus did. You can know that he healed the sick, he cleansed the leper, he raised the dead, he preached the kingdom of God. You can know that Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins, and you can still die and go to hell. Why? Because until you do what God says and cross over into faith, which is in Christ Jesus, unless you have faith in that atoning sacrifice, unless you lean the whole of your person, all that you are, and you believe in such a way that you surrender all of your heart and all of your life, it's not going to do you any good just to have it up here and just to know something. No, the scriptures are able, they have an ability to make you wise for salvation, but you still got to do something with it. Like I said, you got to operate in it, and then you'll see the wisdom. Do you know that when I got saved, I did not know what I was signing up for? When I got saved, I didn't know everything there was to know about the Bible, and still, by the way, don't know everything there is to know about the Bible. Come on, somebody. We are lifelong students of the Word. I didn't have the wisdom. I didn't understand how faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't understand the atonement. I didn't understand the sacrifice. I didn't understand propitiation or expiatory. I didn't understand any of those $20 words that you hear in Bible college. And yet, I started to operate in it, and I saw the wisdom of it. Is anybody listening today? Come on. Come on. Verse number 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That literally means God breathed, that God spoke the word, that all of this is not just the writings of man. No, this is God speaking his word into our lives. And is profitable. Everybody say profitable. Profitable. Some of you guys left me. And say profitable. Profitable. For what? For doctrine. Systems of teaching. God will show you systematically how to live life. For reproof, for correction, where you get off track, God will get you back on track through his word. For instruction in righteousness. What is righteousness? It is the right position and the right practice with God. It is God's will, God's way. And if you want to know how to live life, if you want to know how to do marriage, how to do business, how to do parenting, if you want to know how to do friendships, how to do evangelism, how to do the things that God has placed on your heart to do, the ministry that God has called you to, if you want to know how to do that, get a hold of the instruction in righteousness. It's in the scriptures, in the word of God. But notice there's not a period at the end of that sentence. It's a comma. It continues on in verse number 17. That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice God wants you to do something with this. This is not just a holy huddle that you go out and you do nothing with it. No, this is the rally cry. This is the build you up and cheer you on and rah, 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 and then send you out to do what God has called you to do. It's like somebody went and they went to the store and they bought a tent, they got a camp stove, and they got a backpack, they got some hiking boots, right? They got a fishing pole and all the tackle. They went home, they loaded it all up in the car, they got the family all dressed and ready to go, and then they all sat around the TV and watched Great American Country and saw other people camping on television. And then afterwards, they said, what a great weekend of camping we had. Now you guys are laughing. But I feel like this is what's going on in the American church. We have so much knowledge. We have it all available to us. We've got it on our cell phones. Some of you guys are sitting on it right now. We got all this word. Everything's available to us. And yet, we watch the preacher and we say, what a great Christian life we have. And then you go and you live however you want to live. But God says, I want you to go beyond that. This is able to make you wise, and it has profit. Why? So you can go out there and do the good work that God has called you to do. Notice it's a good work. Good is what God says, but the work is what we do. The scripture is profitable for these things, but it's wisdom that puts these scriptures to use. The more versed we are in God's word, the more wisdom we will have. Fear the Lord, ask for the wisdom, and then start to operate in it. Start to go out and do what God has called you to do, and you will be a witness of a lost and dying world that Jesus is who he says he is, that God is real, that we can have salvation, that we don't have to live under the thumb of the devil any longer. We can live a godly life in Christ Jesus. God wants to raise you up. He wants to use you. He wants to do great and mighty things in your life. Come on. God wants to take you to be a witness to all creation of the goodness and the wisdom of God. I don't want you to leave. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you bring forth today. God, we thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ has been made unto us wisdom. And so, Father, today, God, we lack. We need the manual. We need the instructions. We need to know the way to do it, God. And so, God, would you come and would you give us wisdom? I saw a lot of hands go up for those of you that lacked wisdom. Would you just take a moment in the presence of the Lord right now? Just ask him for wisdom. Ask him specifically, God, in this area I'm lacking. Would you give me wisdom? Some of you guys, God has given you wisdom. He's given you direction. Write it down. I know that if I don't write stuff down, I'll forget it. I'll lose it. Write down what God is speaking to you. The wisdom and the direction for life. Don't be so proud. God, I do it. No. Listen to what he says. Do that. See me, guys, God is giving a word of wisdom. I don't think I said this service. The word of knowledge tells you what. The word of wisdom tells you how. God may give you a scripture. Might give you a word, and it's a word of wisdom. You were thinking about this thing, but you knew the what, but you need to know how. Let God minister that to your heart right now. If he gave you a scripture reference, look it up in your Bible. Go ahead, open up your Bible, find it, mark it, write it down. Open your Bible. If God gave you a scripture right now, go find it. Find it online, whatever you need to do. Don't get distracted by Facebook, though. Find the word that God gave you. It's a word of wisdom. It'll tell you how to do what you need to do. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. Thank you, God, that as we do life your way, that God, wisdom will keep us. Wisdom will promote us. I'll put an ornament of grace on our heads. We'll be able to do what you've called us to do and be what you've called us to be. We love you, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody in agreement said, amen, amen. As Pastor Antonio comes, would you guys give the Lord a great big praise?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.